The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are for informational purposes only and solely those of the podcast participants, contributors, and guests, and do not constitute an endorsement by or necessarily represent the views of The Hartford or its affiliates.
You're listening to the Small Biz Ahead podcast, brought to you by The Hartford.
Welcome, everybody, to Small Biz Ahead. My name is Gene Marks, and I am here with Elizabeth Larkin. Elizabeth is looking very energetic today. Seems
relaxed.
Like you're relaxed and good. You came back from a trip to where?
I went to Europe for 2.5 weeks. I was in Germany, Greece, Switzerland, and France.
Crazy. So
it was amazing.
So what did you learn?
I learned that the Europeans are way ahead of us on accepting mobile payments.
Mm.
And this is something we talked about in our last episode, but every restaurant we went to, the wait staff,
they come up with a little device to the table. Yeah.
It's the best thing ever.
Yeah.
So if you're out with a big group with, have you ever been to Germany?
Years and years ago. But I was just in England recently as well. Whenever we go to London, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Right?
So the Germans love to go out in big groups to eat. Like they'll go, like it'll be a table of like 16 people and they'll all have like, you know, different drinks and food and everything. The wait staff there will just go around. They'll tap everyone on the shoulder and say, okay, here's your bill individually. There's no like, let's do a big bill for the table. And the reason that's so easy to do is because they just all accept mobile payments right there.
It's amazing. And not only that, but my experience in England with the same kind of thing, we went to like 3 or 4 restaurants during when we were there, my wife and I, the wait staff would come around with their phone. Now, I think it was the restaurant owned the phone, but they were phones. They were your iPhones or Android devices.
Yep.
They would take your order on the phone.
Yeah.
And if you were with a big group, they could take individual orders right on their phone and then just generate, get individual payments like you were in Germany as well. Why are we not?
I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I go to San Francisco, New York, Philadelphia, and I go and we go out to dinner and the waiter's coming over with the paper and pencil or whatever. And, you know, it's like a, I don't understand why the U.S. is so odd. And you know what's really odd about that as well is that the restaurants used to come over with these sort of point of sale devices, and they were wireless as well.
Yeah.
So then you would swipe to make the payment. It's like they got rid of that and all moved to the newest technology that comes out. It's like the restaurant industry in Europe.
Yeah.
They just
so far ahead.
Go to it. They just do it. Whereas here in the States, it's like still the same. And I think it is that. And it's a good question to ask if you're running a restaurant. Why aren't you doing that? Is it because the point of sale technology is not available for you? Because I think it is. Is it just because it's not necessarily? Is it just too expensive for you? And you know why change over? Nobody's demanding it. I'm just curious why restaurants here aren't doing it.
There's this restaurant in Connecticut that, I don't want to say the name because I don't want to put them on blast on our podcast.
Okay.
But they only take cash. It's kind of
don't even get me started.
Restaurant.
Don't even want to know. I'm never going to go there.
It's
but go
BYOB.
Ahead.
They right. only take cash. It's kind of like it's like an event. Like you go there and it's a big thing.
Right. And by the way, they have an ATM machine in the restaurant in case you don't have cash, which charges you $3 if you need to take money.
Like an $8 fee.
Yeah.
So you get there, you stand in line to get a table. You get a table. Then you get up from your table, you go stand in line to order your food. Then you get back to your table, then you wait about an hour and a half for your food. So at this point, if you...
Oh my goodness.
Crazy.
Right. And it's crowded,
then,
really popular restaurant.
Yeah, very popular. And then you wait to get your check. And then the guy, like the server is like, oh, I got to go upstairs. And he's got to go get the check from the person you ordered from upstairs. It's a disaster.
Yeah.
And it would just be so much easier. They wouldn't even need to have as much staff if they just like used.
They seem like they're listen, you're talking to the wrong gear. I'm telling you right now, not 12 minutes from where you and I are sitting right now is a fantastic Outback Steakhouse. You go in, they sit you right away. You get in and out of there for under $27. You pull out the credit card. It's great.
They don't use mobile payments there either.
They do
though.
Not. They do not. That's
but
true.
But they should.
They should. I mean, even the biggest restaurant chains in this country, it's still the same system that it's been going on for the past 10
what
or 15.
I want
I don't understand.
In my life is to be able to like go to a restaurant, have them just charge me right there. go shopping and not have to stand in line, just have someone come up to me, like at the Apple store, yeah, with their little card reader, yeah,
and then swipe
check
you
me out. Like,
well, the big trend is now, and this is happening at some restaurants. First of all, fast food restaurants like Wendy's and McDonald's, they're putting in self-service kiosks.
Really?
Oh, Wendy's is installing 4,000 of them over the next year. So you just go in, you order it there, and then you swipe your card, and then your food, you know, comes out wherever
really
it comes out.
Really never going to have to talk to anyone again.
Yeah, well, they're doing, well, they say they're doing that for customer service, you know, because that's what our customers want. I'm sure it has nothing to do with cutting down on their staff and their overhead, yeah. I'm sure. But that's why self-service is big. And then there's a firm called Ziosk. It's Ziosk that has been booming doing self-service kiosks at other like sit-down restaurants like Pizzeria Uno's, for example, mm-hmm. where you just go to your table. The self-service display is there on your table. Nobody comes and takes your order. You put your order in, and then you swipe your credit card right there on the table. Yeah. And then you play games on the thing until somebody just brings out your food. So that's starting to come. It is starting to come. It's just still seems like we're so far behind.
For small businesses, I mean, any restaurant really could just use the mobile payment option.
I couldn't agree with you more. And you can't, I mean, today's point of sale applications that a restaurant puts in, they give you that capability to do, but, you know, it's a little bit extra to pay. And I bet you that's why restaurants aren't doing it here, because it's just not, customers aren't demanding it. I'm demanding it. So are you. You're demanding it.
I'm demanding it, definitely.
Come on.
All right, we'll be right back with our question. This is about what to do if you have a favorite employee.
This podcast is brought to you by The Hartford. When the unexpected strikes, The Hartford strikes back for over 1 million small business customers with property, liability, and workers' compensation insurance. Check out The Hartford Small Business Insurance at thehartford.com.
Okay, this question is from Rosa in Illinois, and she is a corporate wellness consultant. That sounds like a good job.
That sounds like the job that, I forget the name. You know the show Billions? You know, like Damian Lewis, you know, he runs this big company, and he's got like the consultant, like the life coach woman who's Paul Giamatti's wife.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. And they have, she's, isn't that like corporate wellness? Is that the same thing? Or
That's no? more like a life coach. I don't know. I think these are people that go around to corporations.
More like healthcare and wellness programs and stuff like that. Okay.
So they're consultants.
Okay.
So Rosa writes, I have an employee who's absolutely amazing. I don't know what I'd do without this person. How do I show my appreciation without it looking like unfair favoritism? Well, you just pay that person more.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I think you should refer that person to me. I'd like to meet this person, and maybe I can pay that person more as well.
Whenever Gene hears someone else has a great employee, I want them.
What's the problem? I don't understand. What's the issue?
I'm sure that she probably has a bunch of people at the same quote-unquote level.
Yeah.
And one of them she just really likes and does a much better job. And she doesn't want the others to start talking about her like, oh, she likes, you know, Nancy better than the rest of us.
I mean, I'm trying to think with my, so listen, so I have three kids. My favorite one by far is Josh. So what I do is, you know, when all the family's around, I try not to let the other kids know. But then when I'm with Josh, I let him know that he is my favorite. And
I give him
special consideration sometimes. So it's very easy to do.
And you do his laundry for him.
Yeah, no, I don't do his laundry, but I let him know he is my favorite. And, you know, he's probably going to be my highest earner of all my kids. So that's where I'm placing my chips. He's the engineer. So that's why I'm putting my chips down there. And I think it would work the same thing in your business as well. Obviously, you cannot give any indication to the rest of your employees that this person is necessarily your favorite, because you brought up the good point. I actually wouldn't care if somebody was accusing me of showing favoritism. I would care more for the employee that they would be getting, you know, abuse from the other employees. Like, oh, you're the boss's pet.
Yeah, I think that can very quickly cause...
Yeah.
An issue in the workplace.
Think about it like where you work now. Like, mm-hmm. say you're in your group and like your boss, like, happened, you know, he has a favorite. You would feel, if you weren't the favorite, you would feel like a little, and if you were the favorite, you're a little awkward, isn't it? So you just can't do it. Out of respect for the employee, you can't really show that. But it doesn't mean that when you have alone time, or you're out on a job together, or you're, you know, when nobody else is around, I would by all means be making sure that employee knows how much you appreciate him. Depends on what your pay policies are internally at your company. I mean, you know, again, how would you feel if somebody your level, if you found out that they were getting paid more than you and you were guys were doing similar jobs? And so you get into scary areas when
wouldn't
you start.
Feel great.
it wouldn't feel great. So you can do it. You can pay people more. You can bonus people out. If you're really comfortable with that, their other colleagues aren't going to be finding out about it. So it's not sure. But I think people, particularly when you work in a small business, the biggest advantage of working at a small business over a large company, you know, the Hartford is awesome with great benefits, but you really do feel like you're making a difference at a small business, and you really have a connection with the boss, and you feel like you're contributing something a lot. And just to hear that from the boss is, for a lot of people, that's good compensation. They feel, you know, when I tell one of my people how valuable they are, or how much they meant, or thank you for it, whatever, you can just tell that they walk away saying, hey man, this is great. You know, I'm really helping here.
Getting a thank you is great. I personally don't like to be praised. I just like to be acknowledged. Like I get the work you put into that.
Yeah.
Like but you know, we've talked about this before. You really need to figure out what motivates each person that works for you.
Right.
Individually, and then that's how you continue to motivate them. So you just need to figure out what this person responds to and continually do that. Maybe it is just getting a thanks.
Yeah, I agree. And if you're an employee listening to this, you know, you should be giving the feedback back to your boss. If your boss is telling you how much valuable you are or whatever, you don't feel like you're being paid enough, or you've got some grievance or whatever, you want to let please let me know if I'm your boss, because geez, if I'm sitting here telling you that you're really, you know, I really value you and you're favorable, and then you're like annoyed about something, or you don't feel like
you leave,
I'd be like really bummed out. Yeah. Like, I'm just telling you right now how valuable you are. You know, I don't want you to leave. So if there's something I can do to fix that, I will do that. So, again, getting back to, you know, the original question, I mean, you can't show the favoritism outright, but when you do have time, you know, alone, or you should be letting that person know, about that, because I think it's really valuable.
We'll be right back with Gene's Word of Brilliance.
Are you looking for a great idea to start a new business? Well, Small Biz Ahead has 99 of them for you. Our new ebook, 99 New Small Business Ideas, is the first place you should look if you're interested in starting your business. You'll learn about everything from business service industries that could lead to lucrative freelance work, emerging industries such as solar panel installation and professional blogging, and even tech industries that could turn into the next big thing. Head on over to smallbizahead.com and click the link in the show notes to download your free copy today.
Okay, we're back with Gene's Word of Brilliance.
Well, it's two words, and it's actually a person today, Elizabeth. And that person I want to talk about is Steve Jobs from Apple. Did you know that when Steve Jobs was introducing the iPhone, doing the first iPhone demonstration, he misled the public and the press?
What?
Maybe it's too strong a word to use, but I'll use it. He effectively was lying to the public and the press about the iPhone. There was a very interesting story that came out about this a few years ago, and then I wrote about it again. I revisited it. That at the time when he was doing the demo in front of a whole Apple community and all the media, the tech media, that was probably whatever.
It was live stream.
It was a big, you know, just the first introduction of the iPhone. It didn't work. It had memory issues, it had hardware issues, it had internet issues, it was crashing all of the time. He did not have a working version of the iPhone, and he decided to do the demo anyway, even though this product wouldn't work. He was of the faith that it would work, and of course his faith was correct, but at the time, thing wasn't working. So when he got up in front of everybody, first of all, because it had so many bad memory issues, he had like 3 or 4 iPhones up on stage hidden. So whenever he was seen, he was using it for one thing, he would put one iPhone down and pick up another one, because then would be with fresh memory to use, so it wouldn't be crashing out on him, right? He put in extra internet routers around so that it would strengthen the internet signals that was going on, that the iPhone could receive, but then they faked the internet signal that the iPhone was receiving anyway, on the display, even though it wasn't picking up the internet as strong as it should be, and that was a big problem with it, issue. And because there were so many pitfalls in the way it behaved, it was so bad, he had this script that he had to follow step by step by step. If he went off it, the iPhone would have crashed. And anyway, he practiced it for days before the demonstration so that he would get everything exactly right, because he knew that if he went off script, it would be a big problem and a huge embarrassment.
So why did he do it?
So that's a good question. Like, you think to yourself, and the reason why I thought that was interesting is that he misled, you know, his customers, his community, the media, you know, and I think to myself, sometimes I do that too. sometimes I, when I'm talking about a project, talking about our capabilities, talking about what we can do, like Steve Jobs, not that I would compare myself to Steve Jobs, but like Steve Jobs, sometimes I'd be overpromising. I'd be like, oh yeah, we could definitely do that. Yeah. Or we could, you know, in the back of my head saying like, I hope we can do that. I'm pretty sure we can, but I don't, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know 100%, you know? I do that, you know, when you're, that's what people do when they're promoting, when they're selling. And honestly, it is a little bit of deception. Like, I deceive my customers and my prospective customers because you know that's what they want to hear. And you don't want to promise or say something that you know is absolutely not true. But if you're pretty sure as a business owner, as a salesperson, as a service person, that you're pretty sure that you can get this, you know, job done, you're going to like sort of take the step out and say, sure, we'll be able to do that. Yeah. And by the way, that's why I was talking to a friend of mine who they were having their bathroom redone the other day. And they had a contractor who gave him an estimate to do like the tile work. And then like a month later, the contractor came back and said, ah, we're way over budget. We need like an extra $2,500. Because at the time, I know what that contractor was thinking. They were thinking like, yeah, I'm pretty sure I can get it done. Yeah. For the estimate that I'm giving. And then they were wrong, right? Yeah. And then this is what happens when your bets don't play out. So the story of Steve Jobs, I thought was resonating because it was, we all do it as business owners. Even Steve Jobs, the genius, the man, he took a leap of faith. He misled the public because he knew, he had a very good hunch this is where he was going to do. And, you know, you can judge for yourself. If that's good enough for Steve Jobs to do, is that good enough for you?
How long was it between that presentation and then it was actually, he was in market with
it? You know what? I don't know the exact dates, but it was in like 6 months to a year. Okay. I mean, he demoed it and then it took a while
remember that.
Sure. I mean, it's a very famous demo of the iPhone.
Like,
very
famous. I don't think I watched it, but I remember seeing pictures of it.
Well, you can see it on YouTube still.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll link to that in the show notes.
Yeah. Hopefully you can find it. I'm sure you can. And it is I say here I'm deceiving you. I'm pretty sure that you can find it on YouTube. I do this more often than I think about. But it was I thought it was very a meaningful story about Steve Jobs that resonated again for anybody running a business.
We'll talk to you in a couple days. Thanks, Gene.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thanks for joining Elizabeth and Gene for another edition of the Small Biz Ahead podcast. For the latest on small business trends straight from the small business experts, visit the Hartford Small Biz Ahead. We've got articles, how-tos, and videos to help you run your business more efficiently. Check us out at smallbizahead.com.